All right. We are looking at 1 Peter chapter 4 today, verses 1 through 11. Good verses. And but I think I'd like to just read them all at the same time instead of breaking them up like I normally do, and then we'll go back and look at them individually, because it just flows better when you read them all together. And then I may reread a few of them. So, 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 11. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do, so they slander you. But remember that they will have to face God, who will judge everyone, both the living and the dead. That is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead. So although they were destined to die like all people, they now live forever with God in the Spirit. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. Those are great verses. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful, beautiful day, the weather everyone is enjoying so much, and the blue skies and the sunshine, Lord. It's all from you, and we just thank you so much for that. And Lord, I just lift up all the prayer requests from today, the praises and the prayers, and I just know that you hear them and you know each one. You know everybody's need, Lord. And I just thank you for watching over us as you do. And I pray that you'll give me the words to speak to help these ladies understand the lesson. And I ask that you forgive us of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The name of our lesson today is called Living in Community. The subtitle under it is, What Am I Doing to Strengthen Community in My Church? The essentials of living in genuine community are doing God's will and focusing on others. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Doing God's will and focusing on others. In Genesis 11, 1 through 9, the Bible tells us the story of the Tower of Babel. You know, everybody spoke the same language, the whole world. Everybody could understand everybody. They decided they wanted to be famous. So Babylon was a magnet for human pride and idolatry, and they had plenty of it. So God looks down, and he says something in those verses to his angelic court. He said, let's go down there and see what they're doing. So when he realized they were going to build the tower, you know, and it was going to reach up to God, they thought they was going to build it tall enough. And so he made them speak. That's when we started speaking all different languages. That's why there's so many different languages in this world, because that's when it happened. Because he didn't want everybody to understand everybody, and then he scattered them. Scattered them all over the world. That's why the Chinese live where they live, and that's why we live where we live, and so forth and so on. Because he did not want them to think that they were doing it for themselves, for their glory, and they were just getting a little too full of themselves, and he realized that if he didn't stop it, it could be terrible. Now that, Babylon, is not a genuine community. Not a genuine community. They weren't doing the will of God, and they weren't focusing on others. They were focusing on themselves, and they certainly didn't have the will of God. in their plan. Now, in contrast to that, I want everybody, I'm going to read Revelation 21, verses 9 through 27. This is just beautiful. Now, this is a genuine community. Revelation 21, verses 9 through 27. Then one of the seven angels who held the seven bowls containing the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come with me, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." So he took me in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God and sparkled like a precious stone, like jasper as clear as crystal. The city wall was broad and high, with 12 gates guarded by 12 angels, and the names of the 12 tribes of Israel were written on the gates. There were three gates on each side, east, north, south, and west. The wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked to me held in his hand a gold measuring stick to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. When he measured it, he found it was a square, as wide as it was long. In fact, its length and width and height were 1,400 miles each. Then he measured the walls and found them to be 216 feet thick, according to the human standard used by the angel. That's pretty thick walls, isn't it? The wall was made of jasper, and the city was pure gold, as clear as glass. The wall of the city was built on foundation stones inlaid with 12 precious stones. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were made of pearls, each gate from a single pearl. I tried to fathom that. They're made, each gate's made from a single pearl, and I couldn't, you know, you can't put your mind around it. And the main street was pure gold, as clear as glass. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of the day, because there is no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful what we have to look forward to? And when I read it, I found myself wanting to hear more, to know more, to, you know, just to try to understand more about what we're, that's how it's going to be. Now, that's genuine community. That is genuine. That's where we're going to find genuine community. So let's look at our first verses. Lee, while you weren't in here, we went ahead and read all 11, but we'll go back and, because I said it just, they just flow better together. But we're going
to
look at...
It took me so long, I went ahead and stapled those together so
everybody
wouldn't have to shuffle
it. Yeah, that's good. I appreciate that. The first section is called Support One Another. And that's the first six verses that we read. So these verses today describe how a church develops a genuine community. The beginning of... Chapter 4, verse 1. In my Bible it says, "So then," but in yours it may say, "Therefore," which means because of what you just got through reading, this is what needs to be. So we need to, it relates back to the last words in chapter 3 about Jesus' suffering. So he's saying, you know, and the other week we looked at, Jesus' suffering, and then this week he's saying, so then because of Jesus' suffering, this is what you need to do. And that's what that means. Whenever you see therefore or something like so then, just always know that it relates to what you just got through reading, and you always need to go back so you can understand it all. Even as Jesus was willing to suffer, we as believers are supposed to be willing to suffer with the same kind of unwavering commitment that Jesus had. be willing to suffer. Believers' commitment to suffer for their faith, if necessary, demonstrates that the sin that was in our life doesn't appeal to us anymore. And it doesn't have power over us anymore. The more that you, and this all comes with, you know, praying and reading and studying and just getting closer to the Lord, because the closer you get to that and the more mature you are in your faith, I don't care how old you are, your faith may be like a brand new baby, you know, if you hadn't got it where it needs to be. So I would hope that all y'all been going to church long enough and praying and studying the Bible that your faith is as mature as you are. But just always remember that the more we are towards that way, the less chance that our sin is, that our old sin nature is going to have any kind of hold on us. To live in obedience to God for our earthly lives, we are to arm ourselves with Jesus' unwavering commitment in the face of suffering. So to last here and for this time that we have here, then just always think of Jesus when if you have to suffer for whatever reason, financially, sickness, persecution of some sort, you know, that happens to any kind of suffering. Just remember, ask yourself, is it as much as what Jesus had to go through? So verse 3 is a representative list of Gentile believers' former sinful activities. Verse 3 says, "You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols." So they walked in godless behavior. They were shameless. They were outrageous. Just all the kind of people we would go, oh my gosh, you know, don't look, don't make eye contact. You know, they were drunkards. They had wild parties and they worshipped idols. So now you got to remember the people that he's talking to used to be like that. And now they're Christians. And he's telling them that their former pagan friends that are still doing all these things, they're shocked. And you can imagine, you know, I mean, just put yourself, especially in today's world, think about teenagers who are Christians and what they have to face. Your grandchildren, probably. You know, maybe coming up, like your grandson. Think about the temptations and the pull from their friends and the peer pressure to be the old way, to turn their back, and how hard it is for them. And I really admire young people in today's crazy world when they're strong in their faith. And you see them on the news every once in a while, you know, about where they're doing some good or something. And these college kids that they talk about, you know, playing football and the things that they were talking about one yesterday, I don't even know what team it was, but how he's recognized because he volunteers at the Salvation Army all the time, you know, just to giving back to people. So the former pagan friends of these people were like, what are you doing? They were shocked. And they were surprised at the change in them, and they didn't know how to deal with it, so they slandered them. They tried to make them look like they had done something bad. So they suffered for Christ's sake because their peer pressure, their peers were, their former friends were trying to make them look bad. So they suffered for Christ's sake, just like he suffered for them. So that's the same thing that happens here. Verse 5 says it all. Verse 5, "But remember that they will have to face God, who will judge everyone, both the living and the dead." They have to face God. It's going to look them in the eye. It's going to look all of us in the eye. And he's going to judge everybody. The pagans will stand trial to answer for their actions. So any pagan, anybody that doesn't believe is a pagan, you know, in general, that's just what that means. And they're going to stand before him and he's going to tell them, you got to go that way.
I never knew you.
I never knew you. You know, and I wonder, you know, you think about all the people that you encounter in your life and about how people that didn't understand, and you know, it makes you wonder if that, when they, in that moment, well, is it going to flash before them? Man, she knew what she was talking about. I should have listened to her. You know, all the regret. I guess they'll have eternity to go over all the people that, you know, tried to talk to them about Jesus with regret. So all are going to stand before God, living and dead. And verse 6, it says, that is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead. So although they were destined to die like all people, they now live forever with God in the Spirit. So Peter's words in this verse, he does not envision a chance to repent after death. And he's exactly right. Because after you die, you've lost it. The only people that are going to have a chance is the people that are left in the tribulation that have never heard about Jesus. Because there's going to be people that ever, you know, that people just that have never heard about Jesus. Those are the only ones. Only ones that are going to get another chance. The good news was preached to anybody who would listen, and that's the way it is now. Anybody who's willing to listen, somebody will tell them about Jesus. So those that had died but had heard and believed, they're going to live forever. So what he was telling them was, even though they're dead, they're still going to live in eternity with Jesus because they heard and they believed when they were living. The whole idea of genuine community is that we have the same resolve as Jesus had to obey God's will. You know, he did it. Remember when he was at the, right before he got crucified, and he told him to take it away from him? Just, you know, because he didn't think he could handle it. But then he took it. His last prayer. The kind of devotion that Jesus had helps us live in genuine community with one another. We draw strength from one another. This church, and the more I got into the lesson, the more I realized it was, you know, Highland Avenue is a prime example of, you know, through the years. I mean, when did this church start? What year? 1906. Isn't that amazing? All the people that have come before the people that are here now. So this church draws strength from one another, and we behave as God wants us to with the help of other Christians. You know, other Christians are the best examples for other Christians to try to do by and not live like the world wants us to live, because it is so easy to fall back in to what the world wants. It really is. Let's look at love one another, verses 7 through 9. I'm just going to read them again real quick. It says, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or place to stay. So Peter lived in the awareness that Jesus could return at any moment. And that's how we need to live. He could come back in the next 30 seconds. And this room would be empty, wouldn't it? So, we need to do that too. Just like all Christians through the centuries have lived, they all live, you know, even in the Bible you hear about, you know, he's coming back. They lived with that he was coming back while they were living, before we were ever even thought of. So, in the light of Jesus' approaching return, Peter urges believers to be serious, have clear thinking, and be disciplined. Be vigilant, calm, and collected in a spirit of prayer. In communing with God, we are to maintain our focus on Him, His purpose, and His provision in the time that remains until He returns. So, until He gets here, everything needs to be focused about Him, doing His work, giving Him the glory, not taking credit for it, and trying to maintain his purpose. Agape love. How many times have you heard that word? Agape love. That's the kind of love that we have to have, or we should have, for one another. And it's sacrificial, self-giving, and it means that you have a determined will to act on the behalf of others. It's all about that community, about genuine community. Doing God's will and focusing on others. That's the two ways to have and live in genuine community. Agape love. You hear that in the pulpit all the time. Even to enemies. How you feel about that? Even to enemies. Agape love. Yep. But especially to other believers. That's pretty easy. Even if you don't like them, if they're a believer, you can kind of, you know, love them. But an enemy, that makes it a little more difficult. It covers a multitude of sins. Love. That's what it says. Genuine love does not publicize other people's sins and flaws, but it seeks to help those that have had issues. So if you really are genuine about helping somebody, you're not going to go tell everybody and gossip about what's wrong with them. You're just going to try to help them. Pray for them. It may mean just praying for them, you know, but it may mean actually doing something to help them. Love is not blind to other sins, but it covers them up, doesn't it? When you love somebody and you know they got their sin in for whatever, a family member, a friend that you love, you know, they may be doing something, but love covers that up. It covers them in the sense that you just let the offenses go rather than hanging on to them and letting them fester and cause a problem between you and whomever it is. Verse 9 talks to extending kindness to strangers. Now, at the time this was written, you got to remember, there were missionaries, you know, they were traveling all around in their work. And what did Jesus tell the disciples? Don't take nothing with you. Everything will be provided. But it was by him. He would provide the way. He would make sure that there was somebody there when they needed them. Just like that thing you talked about, that you read for us. Staying in the will of God. He's not going to make us go through nothing we can't handle. And he's going to provide what we need at the time we need it. And that is so hard to remember sometimes, because you want to help him out. I do, anyway. So, the missionaries depended on local Christians for lodging. Early churches, they didn't have a building. You know, they did it out of people's homes. So this is what this verse is referring to in that sense, is that a lot of churches were done in a community, in homes, and they would just move from home to home, whoever could do it that week or whenever they met. They all help the cause of Christ beyond. There's just no way to measure the way the early Christians helped the cause of Christ by doing the things that they did. A church marked by members who love one another will be an oasis of grace. What's an oasis? What do you think of when you think of an oasis?
A camel.
Okay, a camel's in the desert, and there's nothing. What's in the desert? Nothing but sand. And he sees, what does he see? Lush green, beautiful, and right in the middle of it is this big old thing of water. Now, it's probably an illusion, but he sees it. But you know, but that, an oasis is good. It's a good thing. So, a church marked by members who love one another will be an oasis of grace in our crazy world that we live in today. So that's, I think we're like an oasis, you know, because this church in this community, we're the oasis. We are. That church over there is too. They're oasis of grace, because when people come here and they need something, if we can help them, we help them. We may be a little nervous, maybe a little afraid, but we do what we can. All right, serve one another. the last couple of verses, 10 and 11. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So Peter encourages believers to use their gifts to minister to others. Everybody in this room's got at least one that God has given you. A gift that he's talking about is a spiritual gift, and that you're supposed to give freely and graciously. In verse 10, it says, God has given each of you. We're that you. Everybody has it. We as believers have received an endowment from God in the form of a gift or gift. So it's like it's like almost in a will, you know, he's left that to us. But he left the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit helps us, and he's also given you some sort of special gift that you hopefully have determined what it is, but you're supposed to use it to serve others, whether it's praying for people, whether it's visiting, whether it's like you do upstairs with the food pantry and the clothes closet. There's all kinds of things that or just being nice to someone, you know, just being nice to a stranger. That's a gift that a lot of people don't have. Believers are to be good managers of God's various grace. A manager is a steward who handled an owner's affair. In this sense, like the steward might be somebody that works for somebody back then that and he handled his business for him. Well, guess what we're doing down here? We're God's stewards. And we're handling God's business for him, because he's not here except for within us. He's working through us. God gives us gifts to use to serve others. We don't decide what the gift is that we're going to get. God decides that. What would you decide? If you could pick, what gift would you pick? Does anybody have any idea? What? Singing? I wish I could, too. Get up there and just sing. Verse 11, Peter focuses on two spiritual gifts as examples of God's grace, of the various graces that he gives. Speaking and serving. Speaking. In teaching or preaching, the believer is to allow God to speak through them. And believe me, this is not me up here. I mean, I study and I get prepared, but I always ask God before I study to give me what you want me to say when I'm going to be standing there. So I don't, and then it just flows. And sometimes I hit a brick wall, and I just have to stop, and I go, okay, what do you want me to do? And then it's amazing because I must get off, and I'm thinking about what for me, you know, it's coming out of my head, and then because when I just totally give it and he takes it, it's not anything like what I mean. I've had to tear up and throw away and start over before because I was off on the wrong path because I was doing it myself instead of letting him do it. So it's the truth. He will lead you. Serving, practical acts of kindness. It would include a range of small, you know, serving can be anywhere from like Audrey does. I mean, how many years has she taken care of the things that she does, you know? How many years have you done what you're doing up there? So, I mean, you know, serving can be working in the nursery, not my talent. But, you know, praise the Lord for those who do. I mean, like Joan, tomorrow, she said tomorrow is the official 20th anniversary that she has been the administrator. So, I mean, that's just amazing. So, there's all kinds of little things, you know, helping, like on Wednesday night, Zeta helps in the kitchen. She don't have to do that, but she does, you know, and just helps by bringing somebody salt and pepper or, you know, just anything. It's just whatever the service that you do, no matter how small or how it could be a leadership role in the church, don't take pride and don't take credit. Don't take pride in doing it, and don't take credit for doing it. Give it all to God. Always acknowledge that the strength that you have to do whatever the task is that you're doing came from God. Only if we rely on God to provide this strength can we use the gifts that He gives us effectively. Miss Lois, you take care of all the class stuff. I mean, it's just amazing. Somebody says something and then it's done. That's a gift. You're serving this church through this class by managing the money that we give and making sure that we contribute to things that we need to contribute to. And you send everybody birthday cards. And I mean, that to me, that's wonderful. That's a big service. And I know you don't take credit for none of it.
I've never even thought about it.
A service. But see, that's what I'm telling y'all. So you realize, see, a lot of people do serve and don't even realize that they're, you know, using a gift that they may have.
Carol takes care of our records.
That's right, Carol. How long have you been doing that?
I don't know.
Too long to remember, huh?
Yeah. I don't know, Sam. I used to do it at the old church, too.
See? Wow. So, see, right there, I mean...
You started doing it when June got sick. Yeah. She heard her. I did.
So that, you know, that's a service to this class, because how many times has she been out and we don't know what to do? We had to trick Jackie into doing it one time. So, see, you know, those things, you don't even realize that you're doing it. And the prayers that you do. I know that this class prayed for me and them for us to find somebody. And right after y'all started praying, they found somebody. I should have asked y'all 10 months ago. But, you know, you don't think about it. But that's, you're serving. And you're not taking credit for it. You give it because you ask Him. You know, you didn't go out and try to find somebody. So only if we rely on God to provide the strength can we use our gifts effectively to contribute to the community. And that's doing the will of God and always focusing on others. So, does anybody have any questions? Complaints? Comments?
Good lessons.
Yeah.